Welcome in to Run the Damn Podcast. I'm Rob Snyder alongside Craig Kolodny, who was in Scottsdale, Arizona this week. How are you, Craig?
Hello, Scottsdale. Coming to you from the West Coast. Looking forward to our second roadshow. 11 episodes, two roadshows.
It's amazing what we accomplish on this podcast.
I know. The sky's the limit.
Yeah. A reminder to everybody to subscribe, to like, to do whatever else you're supposed to do to a podcast that you enjoy, to support the people running it. A lot of people like to say smash the subscribe button. I don't really like that term. I'd say just click it normally, like an adult. Yep. You don't have to smash anything. Patriots, 28-23 winners over the Bucks in a game that was very cat and mouse, very tense. There were some negatives, and that's fine because this was a game between two good teams. The Patriots are on the road, and they fought through the negatives. They fought through some stalling out on offense the second half, and they got a very big time win. And in the process, Craig, they remain atop the AFC East by multiple games now, which is big. We'll get to that in a second. But what was your lead takeaway from this game?
Yeah, to me, this is just their second best win of the year. I think this is they're facing a team that just come off their bye, and I know Tampa's missing a few players, but the Pats have, we've talked about how they've, beaten up on the tomato cans a little bit over the last, 4 or 5 weeks. This is a big time win. It's a big time win on the road, closing out games. You're getting, obviously we'll get into it with the play from the rookies on offense, but again, just closing the game, making winning plays. It's such a dumb thing to say, but it's what they're doing. They're doing it in all these games. They're making the key play, the defense making that big fourth down stop before Henderson's second touchdown run that kind of put it away. But it's hard to not watch and think, wow, this is pretty impressive what they're doing. I mean, they now have as many wins this year as they did the last 2 years combined. So it's like, this is refreshing to see once again. And, I think at least I was a little cautious to start with this run, but there's no reason to think that the expectations for this team keep changing now. I think if this team doesn't win a playoff game, something went really wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you. My lead takeaway from this game, besides the individual stuff in the game that we'll get to, is that I think the Pats are the best team in the AFC. And after this week, I think you have to put them there. The Colts did not play well in Germany against the Falcons. They win that game in overtime.
Denver looked like crap the other night.
Denver was horrible on Thursday night. That was my other. Yeah. So of the 3-8-2 teams, I think the Pats are clearly the best of those three, or playing the best of those three. And we have to talk about it today. So we're going to talk about it today. I think the Pats are the best of those three teams. Yep. The Chiefs are still currently 5-4, and the Bills got smacked today. So I don't see any reason how you can't say that the Patriots are clear cut might be strong. But currently, the way they are playing, the best team in the AFC.
Yeah, and their quarterback's doing it. And, you look at the good teams for the last 5 years in the AFC. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. When your quarterback is able to make plays, and not just that, Rob, they're making big plays as far as, in terms of yardage. How many, we've seen so many plays this year that were explosive.
There it is. Yeah, I was going to say they call those explosive plays.
Explosive plays. Sorry, it's been a long day here in the desert. They have explosive plays that are just game changing. I mean, the Wanda Williams today, the Henderson obviously had a couple. We've seen some to Douglas this year, to Booty. Yeah.
The bomb to Mac Hollins should have been a game sealer.
Yeah. That's an unbelievable throw. One of these days, not this episode, maybe future one. Remember to like and subscribe. We should rank Drake May's 5 or 10 best throws this year.
Yeah, that was up there. That was also, again, I actually wrote in my notes. I was like, Mac Hollins game sealer, and then he ended up throwing the pick in the end zone. So that was very much not a game sealer, but it was still a huge play. And it's amazing how much they've gotten them. And I would say today was the first time they desperately needed them, because outside of the game sealing plays, and I'm jumping away from where I wanted to lead, but we'll stick with this. Besides those huge explosive plays, I thought the Pats were fairly mediocre offensively today. They really needed them. And there's nothing wrong with having an offensive identity we get explosive plays, but I thought, outside of those explosive plays, they were stalling like crazy.
Yeah, and it just – those explosive plays help when you are stalling. So it's like to have that ability, because they just – I mean, for whatever reason, whether it was Cam Newton or Mac Jones or, you know, Brissett last year or whatever, like they just didn't have that big playability. And now when you are like on Henderson's last touchdown run that sealed it, how many times in the last 5 years is that I'm going to run left guard for two yards and then the opponent's going to get the ball and drive down the field and score. Now it's like, holy hell, we're getting 80-yard touchdown runs from our rookie running back. And I think this was the game for him that everybody was kind of expecting after he returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown in preseason. Like everyone thought, oh, he's just going to have 80-yard runs every game.
Yeah.
It was nice to see him with Stevenson out and just the way things have gone the last couple of weeks and with him fumbling the other game, like this has got to be a huge confidence boost for him.
Yeah. And the other big thing, and you mentioned him and Kyle Williams, obviously, you know, usually I feel like you get those like rookie breakout moments in games where it's already in hand against a bad opponent. Like that seems to be like when the rookies shine the most is like, oh, we're up by 3 scores against garbage team X and you make a big play and hooray, now we feel good about you. And then a big game comes down the road and they don't make a play and it's like, oh, maybe we overrated them.
Yeah.
For Travion Henderson and Kyle Williams to make the plays they made in today's game in Tampa against a 6-2 team, now 6-3, I thought that was big. And especially not just that they made the plays, but they needed them. You know, you're down 7-0. You're having trouble scoring. Kyle Williams makes his play. By the way, Kyle Williams, 10 times faster than I ever thought he was going to be. People talked about his speed, and then I watched him in the preseason, and I'm like, this guy's not fast. But he was fast. He was damn fast on the side.
You want to be a fast team. What are you going to do, Rob?
You got to get fast guys. And they got two of them in this draft, apparently. And then you get the Henderson play out of the half where Baker Mayfield goes from on the field 10-7 to on the field 21-10. Obviously that was huge by Henderson. It's amazing that it took Jennings getting hurt for Henderson to finally play more snaps. I agree that like I don't think he's a between the tackles runner normally, but he was able to do it today. So that was big for them.
Yeah, and another guy, you know, we talked. The rookies, obviously, this is their biggest contributions of the season. I think one of the biggest things, we should talk about one of the oldest guys on the team, at least in terms of how many years he's played in the league. The Stephon Diggs, you know, we had talked about that catch on the 4th and goal to end the first half. Yeah. Obviously, great, you know, great call by Vrabel, and obviously we'd be, you know, cursing him out if they didn't.
Early in the season, he kicked a field goal from the 1-yard line at the end of a half. And we both disagreed with it.
It's just, we talked about it on one of the episodes, like just, they finally have an adult in the room at the receiver position and you're seeing everybody else kind of follow suit. Like those are plays that just give you confidence for the rest of the game. And, you know, I don't know. I just feel like his ability, it's crazy the career he's had. Like, and the malcontent status that he gets from moving on and being with different teams. But he has now worked with 3 young quarterbacks and made all of them better, like significantly better. And might have done this without him. I don't think he would have, but he made Josh Allen better. He made CJ Stroud better. And now he's doing it with May. And it's those plays. Like, I don't need 100 yards from him every game, but those clutch moments, I feel like he's always there.
Don't forget Stephon Diggs when he was with Minnesota.
Yep.
Do you remember who their quarterback was when they made it to the NFC Championship?
It was
with Stephon Diggs.
It was another CK, I believe.
It was Case Keenum. That's right. So he makes a lot of bad quarterbacks look good. Not that Drake makes a bad quarterback, obviously.
No, but yes,
Diggs has that ability.
He elevates quarterbacks
that
have not shown that level of success previously.
Yeah, and speaking of adults / veterans in the room, Mac Hollins, 6 for 106 today. So shout out to him. It's funny, I didn't want to lead offense today. Offense is obviously the sexier thing.
Too bad.
My biggest takeaway today was I think it's time to make Zach Kerr the defensive coordinator and give him the money. And I assume I'm saying that by assuming that Terrell Williams maybe needs to focus on his health beyond this season, and maybe this isn't the job for him. If he ends up coming back from, you know, bad health and is successful and wants to keep the job, and you know, you don't want to fire a guy for health issues. So like, I get that. Yeah. But if that happens and Terrell Williams is like, no, I'm good, I'm back, you know, I feel great, and you know, Vrabel says great, Zach Kerr's gonna go. Because I thought he called a masterful game today. I thought that was one of the biggest things today, was how good Zach Kerr was. When Baker Mayfield dropped back, his first read was gone almost every time. The only time his first read was there was his completions over the middle to Ibuka for big gains. Other than that, that first read was gone the majority of the game, and he threw into the flat, it felt like, a million times. Yeah. And then at the end of the game, on fourth down, when you're trying to seal it, they blitz, perfect timing on the blitz. Perfect blitz call, and they get the sack. So I big ups to Zach Kerr. And if Terrell Williams' health does keep him away long enough, I would make Zach Kerr that DC before he takes another job this offseason.
Yeah. And look, last, you know, going backwards in points per game, the 23 to Tampa, 23 to Atlanta, 13 to Cleveland. And the 23 today is really closer to 16.
But, it's 16. Yeah, it's garbage. 23,
13, 13, 19, 20, 13. Even the game they lost to Pittsburgh, their last loss, which came on the 21st night of September. The defense has shown. I feel like early in the year we were assuming that the defense was going to be lights out, and I think they struggled out of the gate a little bit. But they've definitely picked it up, and they're getting contributions from everybody. Like, I think the biggest thing is that I at least watched them, and I see their safety play has not dipped like I think some people thought it would without Peppers, without Duggar, like two guys that have been, you know, on the defense primary roles. But all these guys that they have are stepping up. My boy Caleb on another sack today.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
We're going to play that back at week 18 when I cash that thing. But look, they're doing what they need to do. They are the definition of a team. Like, they're getting, everybody's kind of doing their thing. Obviously May's leading them, but the defense itself, I think everybody's chipping in. No one really, like, everyone's carrying their weight, you know?
Yeah. I would say if there's a downside, it's the linebackers and coverage. But like, that's a downside for a lot of defenses. Like, Jack Giddens and, you know, Robert Spillane couldn't cover Kate Otten today. Like, that, okay. You know, like
Kate Otten. What kind of name is Kate Otten?
You like them to? It's just, yeah. It's like it's just cotton, basically.
Cotton.
And the downside, the only downside today, Sean Tucker. I mean, I assume at future Hall of Fame running back, of first course. Running back of the season that the Patriots allowed to go over 50 yards, 9 for 53.
Yeah.
They had like, I think they had 47 rushing yards on their first drive or in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then slow down, but Sean Tucker goes over. I mean, the Pats did give up a couple 49-yard performances this year, so it was bound to break at some point. But that was very impressive. Nine of the first 10 games, no running backs over 50 yards, beside the great, great, great Sean Tucker.
Do you have anything else from this game specifically, or should we kind of weave in now? I think the AFC East picture to me is just fascinating.
Because the rest is just all how good the Pats are as far as the conference goes.
The AFC East landscape has changed so much in the last few weeks. I mean, remember when the Pats went in there, I think they were still, when they played them, a game behind them, even after beating them. And now it's just Buffalo 6-3, you know, just a terrible loss today in Miami. Like, that, you know what that loss reminded me of? That loss reminded me of like when the Pats teams used to go to Miami. They were really good and then just would lay an egg in Miami you're like, how did they lose to a team that bad?
That's what it felt like.
I mean, they have now lost to it. Like, how do you beat Kansas City and then just have that big of a letdown at Miami? Like, that should, Miami's a dead team walking and you just got rolled by.
I'm impressed that the Dolphins defense played that well after trading guys. It really is amazing that they played that well. I don't know how it happened. You know, you just kind of like watch it and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is going on. But you have a tiebreaker for the Bills too.
Yeah.
So this is quite the lead in the division. And it's starting to feel like the Pats, you know, are going to win the division. It's a big one Thursday night. You don't want to screw around on a short week against the Jets. Who had a very stupid win today. Speaking of the AFC East, I think the Browns became the first team in NFL history to allow less than 175 yards and not turn the ball over and lose. 255-0 before today. 255-1 now. Yeah. It's because the Jets had a they had back-to-back kickoff and punt returns for touchdowns.
It's also we gave Vinny Crouch a shout out. I think it was last week. Let's give him another one here. This is going to be another game where he's going to be like, "This is we should have had the first pick and we won this game."
Oh, they're going to ruin it.
They're going to end up with like the sixth or seventh pick and they're going to draft some left tackle. But looking at Buffalo's schedule, they host Tampa next week. Then they play on a short week at Houston, at Pittsburgh, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And I think Pittsburgh's garbage, but that will be a tough game. They play Cincinnati. They still have, they host Philly right after Christmas. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they still go to New England.
Yeah, and they still come here. So it's like we know what the Pats schedule is like. Although the Pats schedule is going to get a little – with Lamar back.
They haven't lost a few games.
But I mean, this is looking like it's a very realistic scenario here where they could, if they keep taking care of business, you know, especially the home game against Buffalo, you could be looking at the AFC East again, which is just exceeding expectations, but you kind of have to evolve them as the season goes along. I mean, it would be disappointing if they didn't win a playoff game.
I agree. Are you in or out on the Colts?
You asked me that last week, and I honestly can't remember my answer. I think I'm still in.
Nobody does.
I think I'm in. I'm in a sense that, like, they're winning. You know, like, they've lost twice. Both times they lost were by 7 points. I'm in on them. They're good. You know, speaking of schedule, they go at Kansas City after their bye week. Their bye week's coming at a good time for them.
Yeah.
Kansas City, home against Houston. A couple weeks later, at Seattle, home against San Francisco.
Yeah, it's not I said last week that I was starting to think that maybe teams figured them out offensively.
Yeah.
And this week it felt for three quarters like the Falcons had figured them out offensively. Also, and I was like, oh man, this is here it comes. And then they just started handing the ball off to Jonathan Taylor for like the rest of the game. And figured out a way to win. But I still wonder if that passing game is gonna start getting eaten up a little bit. So we'll see. And I will then follow this up with, are you in or out on Denver?
First off, can't believe Jonathan Taylor had 244 rushing yards and three touchdowns.
That's his second 240-yard game this year.
I think I'm more in on Denver than I am Indy. I just think that defense, like, I know Knicks is going to have to do something. Like, at some point, your good defense is just going to have a breakdown and give up a touchdown that they shouldn't. Like, you can't win every game 10-7 like they just did.
Yeah, I'm out.
I think I'm still in, though. I think they have a tough
home last week, though. So.
I think they have a tough home field, you know, a really good coach, a really good defense. But, I mean, the quarterback's got to be better. I agree. I mean, if you said to me, which team out of the 3-8-2 teams has the best quarterback, Colts, Broncos, Patriots, I'd say Patriots. But
yeah.
But again, we can't be sitting here singing all of May's praises when he threw a terrible interception that could have come back to bite them. I mean,
you can't
throw picks like that. You know,
I think Bo Nix is like he's the least accurate passer in the league by like metrics of like, you know, like not just completion percentage, but there's the advanced stuff. It's funny, you mentioned that the Colts have the Chiefs.
Yep.
We always mention the Chiefs on people's schedules as like, oh, well, they still have the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, out of their bye, at Denver, and then that home game against Indy, they still have Denver again later in the season. They still have the Chargers in the season. They still go to Dallas, if you care. But, like, are you – it's hard off a bye. You know, last we saw them, they were losing the Bills a week ago.
Yeah.
But, like, are we still certain the Chiefs are the Chiefs?
Like, who's – so if you said to me, like – and we did not discuss this before we started recording. If you said to me, rank the top five teams in the AFC right now.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it's a different question. If you said to me – let's phrase it differently. As a Patriots fan, who do I not want to see the Patriots play in the playoffs? How about that?
Fair.
And I'll just assume it's a home game so that we're not figuring in things that we can't control there.
Besides Jacksonville.
I would say most scared, most concerned with the Chiefs. Then second, the Ravens.
Okay.
Then third, I'd say Denver. And then fourth, I'd say probably Indy. Gotcha. I would not say Buffalo. Sorry, Andy. I've seen them beat them. They could lose to anybody, obviously. I've seen enough from the Bills so far this year to think they're not right. And even though the record's fine and they could easily surpass the Pats, I just think the other teams, even though they some have worse records, I'd be more concerned with them.
It's amazing. Before we get to the NFC, I just want to say we are 10 weeks or 10 games into a 17 game season. And the Patriots are the best team in the AFC.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy. Wild. Crazy. It is a wild thing to say. I know you're very interested in the NFC.
Yeah.
Because the Seattle Seahawks once again take a 35-0 lead in the blink of an eye today.
Has that ever happened before? Back to back or whatever.
I can't imagine it has.
I just remember last week we were recording the podcast, and I think in the last like 5 minutes, they scored like four touchdowns in like 5 minutes of real time.
They are a plus.
Seattle just scored again.
They are a plus 103 point differential, which remains second best in the league behind the Colts. They're plus 115. And then the Rams are plus 98. They're both 7-2. They're in the same division. Seattle right now is on top. Who do you think is the best team in the NFC?
I think the best team in the NFC might be the Seattle Seahawks.
Give me the Darnold stat. Give it to everybody. The whole world is waiting.
Sam Darnold, his last 26 starts, last year with the Vikings, this year with the Seahawks, he's 21-5, if you don't include the playoffs. 21-5, which is insane. He's got like 60 touchdowns and like 13 picks. Guy's playing out of his mind. Do I think he's not going to, poop himself in the playoffs? Of course I think he's going to do that. I think if I were to rank if I did the same exercise, and instead of me doing it, you're the Eagles fan.
Yeah.
You tell me rank the top four or five teams that you don't want to see the Eagles face in the playoffs.
As of right now, I think I'd have the Lions ahead of the Seahawks. But then I would have the Seahawks.
So number one is the team you wouldn't want to see them face?
I think so, yeah. Okay. Here's part of the reason why. Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur cannot beat the Eagles. They simply don't. Matt LaFleur's never beaten them. McVay's 1-6.
Yeah.
They just don't. Like, it's the Packers and Rams, never as good as I think the Rams are, and I still think the Rams are, in my opinion, the best team in the NFC. I think if it's Eagles Rams, I can never just say the Rams are going to win that game because they don't. They just don't do it. The only time they did do it was the year Doug Peterson got fired, the down year they had. Yeah. Other than that, they couldn't beat Wentz and Peterson, they couldn't beat Nick Foles, and they haven't beaten Jalen Hurts. They just don't.
Yeah.
And same with Green Bay. I don't think Matt LaFleur has won a game against the Eagles in his career as head coach. So that's why I just don't, the Eagles haven't played the Lions in a while. I still think the Lions are very good. Did you see Dan Campbell took over offensive play calling duties today, which I find fascinating because he is such a CEO head coach.
After that loss last year, he's not messing around.
I wonder if that's a good thing for them or a bad thing for them, but that's fascinating to me. So I still think it's the Lions
down the road. Yeah.
Yeah, the only reason I have the Seahawks second is because they've benefited a little bit from a softer schedule. So I just don't know. Also, I'm more afraid of Jared Goff than I am Sam Darnold.
Which playoffs is going to be more exciting, the AFC or the NFC? Because I think we got some really good teams and some interesting matchups that obviously we'll see how it all shakes out. But I mean, if you look at the NFC, you have the Eagles.
They're loaded.
These are all quality times. Like Eagles, Packers, Lions. I mean, the Bears are 6-3 with a negative point differential. The Bucks are 6-3. The Seahawks, Rams, 49ers, like there's going to be
it's a loaded conference. The top six are really good teams.
So like, who's not making it? I guess the Bear, you know, the Bears and Niners are going to probably fight for it. The Vikings will still probably get involved. Yeah, I don't think the Saints will be there despite their impressive second win of the season.
Oh my God. Good for the Saints. Good for Kellen Moore.
Good for the Aints. Yeah.
Very, very big Dave Canales.
We'll bring back bottom five coaches next week. We're just short on time this time, but
I think the issue with the AFC is once we get to the playoffs, do you trust Daniel Jones? Do you trust Bo Nix? Right. Do you trust Aaron Rodgers if the Steelers are in it? You know, like, is Justin Herbert off the schneid? Like, those kinds of things. Whereas I think the NFC, obviously, same questions with Sam Darnold, but I think we think the Seahawks are really good. But outside of that, like, a lot of very legit teams. And you could see, you're going to see some good teams on the road.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, you might see the Rams and Lions play road games in the playoffs like that.
And the Bills and Ravens, too, on the road.
Yeah. Or the Packers will be playing on the road. Like, there's going to be good teams playing on the road.
Could you imagine if, like, I guess they'd have to win a division, but if you somehow got like Bills and Chiefs in the first round, like
it'd be awesome.
It'd be crazy.
I'll take it. Get one of those teams out. Let's see some new blood. Really quick, we didn't talk about this either before we wrap up a shorter podcast.
Yeah.
Your trade deadline. We never talked trade deadline. It happened in between our last pod.
Yeah.
We saw the Colts give up 2 first round picks for Sauce Gardner. We saw the Cowboys buy for reasons I will never be able to explain. The Pat stood pat, basically.
The Jags got Jacoby Myers. To me, the biggest one is obviously the Colts kind of committing to Daniel Jones. And I don't know if
that's risky. The
right play, but time will tell. Time will tell there. I don't know. Like, I think it's a good deal for the Jets.
Like,
And it's like, well, like, what do we do? So we have this lockdown corner, but we're losing every game. Great. Like,
they have two firsts, 3 seconds next year.
Yeah.
And then they have 3 firsts the year after that.
Yeah. I mean, it's eventually, but they got to hit on the quarterback, which who knows if they ever will.
And the problem is the quarterback's not this year. They have to find a way to have the patience to take 2 really good players this year that aren't quarterbacks and take the quarterback the year after. Maybe there's a flyer they can take.
The problem is all these guys that they've signed, whether it's Fields or Rodgers over the last few years or Zach Wilson in the draft, like there's been these reclamation projects. Obviously Darnold started there, but like Darnold and Mayfield and there's others that I'm not mentioning, even Daniel Jones to an extent.
Yeah.
They're not even hitting on those guys. So it's like, you sign a Justin Fields and you're like, well, maybe I don't know why anybody thinks Justin Fields is ever going to be good. I've never seen it. So yeah. I don't like even some of these quarterbacks that aren't good. You still see some, like some promise there, but
you didn't like his, hold on a second. You didn't like his standby.
I can fill while you're looking.
His 6 for 11 for 54 yards today. 6 for 11 for 54 yards. A touchdown and interception. 6 for 11
for 54 yards.
Certainly not. I think I could maybe throw for 54 yards over the course of a game, but it won't be 6 for 11. It'll be like,
you could. What about we set you up with some bubble screens?
4 for 80. I always maintain that if I were to play one NFL snap, just one, I would get hurt. I'd be hurt.
You might get hurt in warmups.
I would be on the ground like Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
It would be bad.
Seven.
All it would take is 1 300-pound person to push me.
Every time I look over, you're on your ass.
Have you fall? What was the last time you fell? Like fell?
Fell? Oh, yeah. Like athletically or just?
Just like running around and then you take a good tumble.
I mean, I'm not that clumsy, but it's happened. The older you get, it's harder. Like
every time I fall, I think this is it. I'm never getting up.
Dude, we're 40. You can't be thinking that yet.
Not like, oh my God, like I need like life alert. I just feel like I'm in so much pain. I need a few minutes on the ground. You know, like one of those, you know, like when the guy's down, you're like, oh man, this looks bad. And then he like gets like lifted up and like walks off the field. Like that's me basically.
Get, like, a little cloud.
Every time I tumble, it's like, yeah, I'm like waiting for an applause, but by the time I get up and I'm like, okay, well, I've shaken it off.
You need the trainer to get out there.
I do. I need something.
I need a trainer just to move in. And
I need something. I tripped over the carpet in our house the other day while holding the baby.
Yeah.
Didn't drop the baby, but I went down. I went down holding the child. It was not good.
Oh, I'd get rid of that carpet then.
Yeah, you know what? I shouldn't have been like dancing around the house holding a child, but you know, sometimes they need to be entertained. All right, well, do you have a final thought? Would you like to talk about the Jags blowing a 29-10 lead to Davis Mills?
No, I really right. don't. I don't. I mean, you can, but I feel like we've covered what we need.
My only take is it was a fascinating, because I'm watching the Patriots game, it was a fascinating scoreboard follow to be like, at one point, I think the Texans made it a one-score game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, how are there 12 minutes left? I thought this game ended hours ago.
In an NFL game, like anything can happen. It's such an amazing product. And the season, I feel like we say it all the time, but season's been very entertaining. It's obviously a lot more fun now that the Pats are kind of back in the mix as opposed to where they've been the last few years. And look, I don't think it's a coincidence that they started to turn things around once we started a podcast. So I think we deserve a little bit of credit.
Clearly it's us. Yeah. All right. Well, next week we will get to a much more heartier podcast. You'll be back in, town, and we'll have the time to do so. It'll be meatier, be chunkier. It won't be a broth.
After the Pats game on Thursday, so we'll have 72 hours to...
Oh, God, I'm going to forget everything. I'm going to have to rewatch the highlights.
Yeah, it's... You know what? Maybe we record Thursday night. We'll see.
Honestly, not the worst decision, because A, I'm not working, and B, Eagles-Lions is the Sunday night game next week. So unless you'd like to do it at 11:30 on Sunday.
Let's see. I fly back from my lovely trip here to Scottsdale on Thursday. So we'll see. Maybe we can sneak it in. Let's see.
Any other like family planning we'd like to discuss on here before we're done recording?
we'll flex schedule our podcast to Thursday.
We'll do something. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But in the meantime, enjoy your weeks, everybody. Thanks for running the damn podcast with us, and we will see you next week sometime.